chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. That's towards the back part of your Bible. By the way, I talked to Brother Hamlin on Friday, and I pray for him. He's traveling a little bit, being able to go and do a little bit of preaching. He can't do week-long conferences and that kind of thing right now because of his energy level. Keep him in your prayers. And keep Brother Gary Freeman in your prayers. He's having tests tomorrow. And just pray for him. 2 Timothy chapter 2. By the way, you probably don't know this, but this is Super Bowl Sunday. Well, who didn't know that? Well, Brother Mike Tate gave me this little note. Said you should be as excited about church as about the Super Bowl. Amen? So when your pastor makes a point this Sunday, pour Gatorade over his head. Don't you even think about it. Well, I hope nobody will miss church tonight to watch Super Bowl. I like football. My team has been in the Super Bowl, and I came to church, went home, watched second half. You say, what would you do if you missed it all? I'd miss it all, I guess. See, my church is much more important than Super Bowl. You know, Super Bowl will be played this year. Somebody will win, somebody will lose. Next year, most people won't even remember who did. I'm not against it, but, priorities. So be in your place, and if the preacher's not long-winded, maybe you'll get second half. Amen. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Honey, you don't have a Bible. There you go. This young man needs one too. Give him that other one. Is there another one in the pew rack? He needs a Bible too. Man, we need the Bible. 2 Timothy, that's towards the back of your Bible, chapter 2. I'm going to begin with verse 19. I'm going to read just a few verses there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Paul says there, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work." And let's pray. Lord, bless this time we're going to spend in your word. And you know the need of the hearts. You know the need of our lives here today. And Father, I pray, just help us to be open to you. That one who's here without Christ, that their hearts will be open to the truth that they need Jesus. For every Christian, open to the truth that, Lord, there are things in our life that need to be changed and need to be altered and need to be dealt with. And help us to be willing to listen to you. That we might be better Christians for you. That we might be more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. Oh, God, help us. Use me, speak through me, that might I be that tool, that vessel in your hands to accomplish your work and your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I titled this, Meat for the Master's Use. Meat for the Master's Use. As we read the Bible, we find God using many word pictures to help us in our understanding. In these verses that we've read, we find one such word picture. Here, the Apostle Paul likens the church, and when I say church, I'm talking about to the corporate body of believers, to a great house, a large house. He then likens each believer to that of a vessel that is in that house. Now, these vessels, we learn, are not all the same, just as believers are not all the same. Some of the vessels, we're told, are made of gold and silver. Others are made of more common materials, wood, clay. However, don't lose sight of this. The makeup of the vessel is not at issue here, but really the value, the true value of each vessel is determined by its use. Whether it's an honorable vessel or a dishonorable vessel. Thus, every one of us, as a vessel in God's great house, is either a vessel unto honor to God or a vessel of dishonor to God. Well, what makes the difference is whether or not we're willing to make ourselves vessels that God can use. In verse 21, Paul speaks of the need to purge ourselves, to rid ourselves of that which would cause our lives to dishonor God. And he says that we must prepare ourselves to be meet for the Master's use. Now, the word meet here is the same word we find over in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, where God said about Adam, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him and help meet for him." You see, the word meet means for something to be fit, for something to be suitable for a particular purpose. So when Paul says that we are to be meet for the Master's use, it means that we are all vessels in God's house. But we need to be fit, we need to be suitable. And the sad truth is that many Christians are not vessels fit or suitable for God to use to honor unto His glory. So this morning I want to spend a few minutes looking at the kind of vessels we need to be that we might be vessels fit for the Master's use. Now the first vessel we need to be is an available vessel. An available vessel. I just happen to have a vessel here. This is a vessel. And this is my vessel. Right? This is your vessel. It's my vessel. I brought it today because I want to use it. Now, Brother Julio over here, come and get this. I just want you to take it over there and hang on to it for a while. I said, if we're going to be the vessels God wants us to be, number one, we need to be available vessels. And you know, we're to present ourselves. Over in Romans, it tells us to present our bodies living sacrifices. We talked about that in Sunday school last week. Present. I thought about that word present. And you know that word present means to yield yourself to something or someone. I checked that out and I compared it with Romans 6:13 where we're to yield our members unto righteousness. So we're to present ourselves to the Lord for His use. We're His vessels, and if we're going to be the kind of vessels God wants us to be, we must make ourselves available. Present ourselves. By the way, that word present means pre-sent or pre-designated something or someone. So we need to present ourselves. We need to put ourselves at God's disposal. We need to be available for God to use. We need to put ourselves on that altar that Romans 12 talks about in 12:1. And we need to be willing to surrender ourselves as vessels for God to use as He sees fit. We need to dedicate ourselves to the Lord's work for His use. Now, in Timothy there, I want you to look back at chapter 2. In Timothy, chapter 2. I want to read a couple of verses. Verse 3. Same chapter, Paul says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now, there's another word picture. We as believers are soldiers in God's army. Whether you know it or not, when you got saved, you enlisted. You signed up, and hey, there's no discharge in God's army. You know, it's like being a Marine. You're one forever. Amen? And so Paul says, hey, we're to be not just soldiers, good soldiers. And then look at verse 4. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Paul says, hey, you're a soldier of the Lord now. Don't get yourself all wrapped up in other things, because you're supposed to be a soldier for God and please him. Now, picture this. We're called upon to be good soldiers. We're not to be soldiers that are AWOL. We're soldiers that are to be ready and willing and on the alert for God to use. The sad thing is, there are a lot of people, a lot of believers, who are not available for God to use. They belong to him, but when God goes to use them, they're not available. They're somewhere else, doing something else, have other things. Now, did I bring a vessel today? Yes. Is it my vessel? Yes. I can't use it. Why not? Not available. I'm looking around for my vessel. I don't have it. Listen, I brought it. It's my vessel. I have a use for it. I had something I wanted to do with it, but I can't do it, because my vessel isn't available. How do you think God feels when he has something he wants to do with you? You're his, but you're not available. See, a lot of believers are not available. They refuse to give themselves to God for his use. They're entangled in the affairs of this life, like Paul says we ought not to be in verse 4 of the same chapter. Believers wrapped up in their careers and in their accomplishments and in their financial status or their social life or their hobbies or whatever it is. But they're not available for God. They're vessels in his house. Not available. Picture this. Military officer calls for a certain recruit. He wants him to appear. He has an assignment for him. But he don't appear. He sends for him, the guy never comes. So he asks the guy, he says, hey, wait, where is he? Where? And the guy says, oh, he's not available because he had gone off to take care of some personal business. By the way, I don't think that commander would be very happy. But here's a place where a soldier is supposed to be available at the beck and call of his commander. And when the commander went looking to give him an assignment, he wasn't available. He was out taking care of some personal business. It's a picture of a lot of Christians. God has a work for us to do. But we're not available. We haven't presented ourselves to the Lord and said, here I am. I'm your vessel. What do you want me to do? I belong to you. I'm a soldier in your army. What's my assignment? It's quiet in here. But it's fact. Listen, if we're going to be a vessel unto honor, we need to be an available vessel. Listen, God paid for us. Jesus died for us. He shed his blood for us. We ought to be available for him to use us. We're his. Well, we're going to be in a vessel. The right kind of vessel. We need to be a clean vessel. Hey, give me my vessel back. He thought he was going to take it home. It's mine. Okay. Let's picture this as my coffee cup. Amen. Now, I tell Julio, I say, I want you to take my coffee cup down to Dunkin' Donuts to get it filled up. well, he says, okay, I'll take that. But you know, before I ever give it to him, I've already inspected it. See, I'm going to make sure that puppy's clean. You know what happens if it's not clean? Ain't going to be no coffee in that cup. You with me? I ain't use no dirty cup. I want a clean cup. I think God feels. Are you His vessel? You've been saved? You belong to Him? He wants to use you as a vessel of honor. If He's going to use you, number one, you've got to present yourself. You've got to be available. Number two, you've got to be clean. Now, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. But I'm talking about being clean. Now, over there in 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul wrote this, or James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Turn back just a couple pages to 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 4. Again, Paul writing, he says that every one of you, he's talking to saved people, should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in a lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all, as we also have forewarned you and testify. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Okay. How many of you would agree now? We've seen some things. How many would agree? All saved people are God's vessels. You agree with that? Okay, that, you know, yeah, we understand that. How many would agree that God wants to use His vessels? Okay. How many would agree that God wants to use clean vessels? Yeah. Well, let's talk about clean vessels. What exactly are we talking about? Well, I think there's three ways God wants His vessels to be clean. Clean, let's say physically or morally, we need to be clean. I'm talking about clean in our manner of living. How we live ought to be above reproach. How we live, we ought to live like Christians. That means there ought to be a difference between how we live and how unsaved people live. Right? Our values ought to be different. Our morals, all about us, ought to be different, because now we're new creatures. We're not like them anymore. You understand? So, God wants us to be clean morally. Clean in the matters of what we do and what we don't do. You know, there's a lot of things unsaved people do that I won't do. Huh? See, because I got saved and I got in the book and I found out God said, don't do that. And one of the things in my life is I want to please the Lord. I really do. So when He says, don't do that, I want to try not to do that, so I can please Him. Now, listen, whether I please Him or not, it's going to make a difference of whether I go to heaven or not. You with me? I settled that issue. I'm going to heaven. Now it's the issue of, how am I going to live my life here until I get there? Am I going to live to please Him, or am I going to live to please me? If I live like the world does and act like the world does and do the things, say the things, think the things, read the things, et cetera, that the world does, I'm not going to please Him. So I need to cleanse my life, what I do and what I don't do. I need to live a godly life, not wicked or worldly. Now, here's the problem. We're all vessels unto the Lord, And God wants to use every one of us. But too many Christians have too much dirt in their life that when God goes to use them, he can't use them like he wants to. Now, I joked about, but I wouldn't do that. And neither would God. He won't cast you off. But you know what he does with believers that aren't clean and he can't use? He don't put them on a piano, but he puts them on a shelf. Yeah. What's that mean? It means I'm still a vessel. I still belong to God. He still wants to use me, but he has to put me on a shelf and not use me because I got too much dirt in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me sad. I don't ever want to get to the place that God says, hey, I want to use you, but I can't use you because you got too much dirt in your life. Listen, I've known believers who have been put on a shelf. Yeah, God wants to use them, but God's not using them. And it's because they won't clean up their life. They won't get to where they're a vessel that God can use. That's why Paul says some of those vessels in that house are to honor and some are to dishonor. Some were usable, some weren't usable. And one of the ways we make ourselves unusable is when we have a lot of dirt in our life. We need to clean ourselves up physically. And then, listen, I think there's a second place we need to clean ourselves up in our mind. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have this idea sometimes as believers that what I think is nobody's business. Well, most of us, now watch, unless you open your big mouth, nobody knows what you're thinking. You know, the Bible tells you that. I learned that a long time ago. Nobody knows what you're thinking until you open your big mouth and let them know. See? But we have this idea, I can think anything I want. No. Because God knows what you're thinking. And he tells us we're to renew our mind and we're to keep our minds pure and clean. Go back just a few pages towards the Old Testament to the book of Philippians. Chapter 4. I ended up in Galatians, and that ain't going to work. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, saved people, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. We're told to gird up our mind. We're told to protect our mind. Listen, this is the devil's battlefield right here. See, every action you take starts here. So the enemy attacks here and tries to get us to think wrong. If he can get us to think wrong, then we're going to do wrong. So we've got to be very careful that we don't let wrong things into our mind. You know, we marvel at the computer and what, you know, the age we're living in and all. But the fact is this is the greatest computer ever created. Man's computers don't hold a candle to this. But like man's computers, we have this issue, garbage in, garbage out. What you put in is going to affect what comes out. And so we have to learn that we need to discipline ourselves and not fill our minds with the filth and the garbage of the world. Listen, the eye gate is one of the main gates to the mind. Eye gate, ear gate. So we need to be very careful what we listen to, what we look at, what we read. We need to be careful about all that kind of stuff so that we can keep our minds clean. Clean physically or morally, then clean in our mind, then clean in our heart. We need to be clean in our heart if God's going to use us right. You say, how do I be clean in my heart? Well, we need to be clean from any hatred or malice in our heart. Listen, I know it's hard sometimes, but I preached last week about being forgiving. Yeah. We need to have hearts that are forgiving and not harbor malice. A heart pure from bitterness and wrath. A heart pure from wanting vengeance. And then we need to be careful about hearts filled with envy and covetousness. You know, it's very easy to become envious and covetous. Don't look at me that way. Like you never had that problem. Well, I never envy anybody. Is that right? How about that person that got the promotion you thought you should have? How about somebody who got something you thought you ought to have? You've not been envious? Somebody gets a new house, somebody gets a new car, and you're thinking in your heart, why'd they get that and I didn't? But we need to be careful about having our hearts clean from those kind of things. See, those are the hidden sins, so to speak. They're not the biggies that we see, you know. So sometimes we're more willing to just kind of let them hang around. No. We got to have clean hearts. Not harboring sin in our heart. So we want to be the right kind of vessels. We need to be available. We need to be clean. We need to be empty. Empty vessels. Nothing in it. It's empty. What's the point? Well, because it's empty, now I can fill it. Can you imagine if I had this cup and I wanted Julio to take it down there at Dunkin' Donuts, get it filled up with a nice big cup of hot coffee with just a little bit of cream, no sugar, half decaf, half regular, a little bit of ice. And they would know just who it's for if you ordered that. But can you imagine if I was going to send him down there to get that? And I handed him this vessel, and it was already filled with milk. I can't get that filled. It's full. Ah, he figured that. Julio's a bright guy. Point. If something's already full, you can't fill it. If I have a vessel that I want to use that's already filled, I can't use it. Because it's already full of other stuff. Are you God's vessel? Nod your head. You belong to Him? Does He want to use you? Can He use you? Or is your life filled with so much other stuff that you're not available and He can't use you? You're already filled. What are you talking about? Well, I thought about this. I thought if we're going to be meat for the Master's use, number one, we need to keep our sin account short. Well, what's that mean, preacher? That means we stay what we old-time fundamentalists call confessed up. I still don't get it, preacher. You're pretty thick today. It means that we don't have a bunch of sin in our life that we've not confessed and not got right and not repented of. Our sin account is short. Listen, you're saved, but the Bible tells us we're still sinners. We're just saved sinners. You say, I don't know about it. Well, read 1 John 1. It says, if we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. In between those two verses, it says this, but if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if I want to be used by God, I want to be a clean vessel, I need to keep that sin account short so that I'm not filled with sin. Hello. How long has it been, the song says, since you talked with the Lord? See, we need to keep that. I was reading in the Old Testament the other day over in Leviticus and all, you know, the furniture and stuff and in the Old Testament about it, you know, as you're reading the Pentateuch there and you see it over and over again. But anyway, in the tabernacle that God designed, there was a laver. If you don't know what that laver was, it was a big old water trough thing. Now, it was fancy, and it would come up, and it was probably, you know, in a circle like this, had water in it. Now, that laver was to be placed between the altar of sacrifice, that big brazen altar where they burn all the sacrifices, and the holy place where the table of showbread and altar of incense and the candlestick was. Right in between those two was this laver of water. Now, the priests every day were back and forth doing sacrifices and then going in there and putting the showbread and all that kind of. But every time they went back and forth, they would be doing sacrifices. They would come to that laver and wash their hands and wash their feet. Why would they do that? Because they kept getting dirt on them while they were serving. You say, what's the point? There's a picture there. We, 1 John 1:9, listen, while we're serving, while we're living for the Lord and going about our business, we're picking up dirt. And so before we go into the holy place, we wash ourselves. 1 John 1:9. If we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive. And so if we're going to be vessels, we need to be an empty vessel. We need to be a clean vessel, clean of sin, and empty of all other things. Keep our sin account short. And then secondly, we need to be empty of self. And this is probably one of the greatest difficulties in being used of the Lord. Empty of self. The Bible says that when we get saved, we are to die to self so that we can live for Christ. Go over to Galatians, back a couple pages. Verse 20, Paul writes this about himself. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Here's what Paul's saying. Hey, when I got saved, I died to Paul. I don't live for Paul anymore. I live for the Lord Jesus Christ now. And that's how God wants us to be, as His vessels. We need to die to ourselves. What's that mean? We need to give up our will and submit our will to the Lord's. You know, one of the things I try to pray every day is, Lord, I don't want my will to be done today. I want Your will to be done today. And I say this, help me to let Your will be my will. Because that's what I want. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Him. And then we shouldn't be living for our glory, but for His. Listen, we shouldn't be concerned about making a name or getting famous or any of that kind of stuff. For us, we ought to be living to elevate Him. That's our purpose. That's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or you drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Paul wrote over there in Philippians 3 and verse 8 how all his accomplishments, all he had achieved, all his religious things, he said he counted all dung. He counted all of no value for Christ. Too many believers can't be used by God because they're filled with self. Self-will. They're filled with materialism. Filled with a desire to satisfy their flesh, their desires, their wants. Doesn't matter what God wants. Only matters what I want. And they're self-centered. Wrapped up in their comfort and their pleasure and their ease. I thought about this. Picture yourself traveling down the road. It gets to be evening. And you go in, you get a motel room. You pay your money and you get the key. Now that room's your room, isn't it? And you're tired. You want to use that room, don't you? So you go bebopping down to your room, you know, pulling your luggage behind you. You get to the door. You stick that little card in there. By the way, in the old days, we used to use keys. Now you stick that little card in there, and the green light comes on, and you open the door. Your room's filled with people. And you're saying, I can't use this room. It's already full. And God looks down from heaven and he looks at our lives and he says, I can't use that vessel. It's already full. Full of self and full of sin. And empty vessel. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. You know, somebody said one time, I think it's so appropriate. Here's how we live our lives for the Lord. We get this, we get our little paper here, you know, and we fill it all out on what we want to do, where we want to go, how we, you know, and we say, okay, Lord, approve that. That's not how it's supposed to work. We're supposed to take that blank sheet and sign our name to it and say, fill it out, Lord. All right, I got to hurry. I got one more. I'm not going to break it. I thought about my illustration breaks down right here. I could take a hammer and smash it. I don't want to do that. We're going to imagine a broken vessel. To help our imagination, go over to Mark 14. Mark 14. I like this story. Verse 3. You still with me? The roast ain't going to burn, is it? We're all right. I know exactly what time it is. Daytime. 14 verse 3. I keep watching for Gatorade. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. I preach a message out of that passage, but one thing I want you to understand. This woman came with something that was near and dear to her, something very, very valuable to her. This alabaster box of ointment. And she came to anoint Jesus with it. But I want you to notice, she didn't come and just pour a little bit of it on him. She gave it all. She broke the box. And poured it all out. She held nothing back. And that's the kind of vessels God's looking for today. Just some people who will hold nothing back. Lord, whatever. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Lord, whatever. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll be what you want me to be. Lord, I've been holding back this particular area of my life. I've surrendered so much, but I've been holding back right here. Lord, I want to break the box. Broken. All of it. I'm yours. 100%. I'm your vessel. And I want to be that vessel to honor. Help me. Son, put that coat down before I come take it off you. That's exactly where God wants us to be. All of me. Many in this room. Listen, I'm not trying to pick on anybody. But I know, no doubt, crowd this size. There are people in this room, you've given God part of you. You said, God, I'll go to this limit. But God says, no, I want all of you. I want the box to be broken. Holding nothing back. Are you willing to do that? I can't answer for you. I know for me. I know I'm a vessel. I know I belong to Him. I want to be a vessel unto honor. I know He wants to use me, and I want Him to use me however, wherever, whenever He desires. I hope that's your prayer, your desire. Let's bow our heads. Great house, many vessels. Some silver, some gold, some wood, some clay. Some vessels to honor, some to dishonor. And I don't believe the material that made up the vessel really is what distinguishes. I believe it's the use. Whether vessels are available, clean, empty, broken. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I'm going to talk to believers now. You're a believer. You've been saved. You settled that. It's not an issue. You're going to heaven when you die. You've been saved. But let me ask you this. Would you consider yourself a vessel unto honor today? Would you consider yourself a vessel meet, prepared, ready for the Master's use? If you believe you are a vessel today, meet for the Master's use, prepared, ready, available, would you just hold your hand up and say, yeah, I believe I am. I believe I am. I believe I'm a vessel, fit for His use, meet for His use, prepared for His use. Here's my hand. Put it down. I wonder, now several raised their hands, several could not. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I have not been the vessel I need to be. I'm a vessel in God's house. I got saved. I belong to Him. And I know He wants to use me. But preacher, the fact is I've been limiting what He can do with me. Because I haven't prepared myself and made myself meet for the Master's use. There are some things I need to take care of, need to change, so that I can be used the way God wants to use me. And I'm making that decision today to change whatever needs changed. To be whatever God wants me to be. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high? Hands are going up all over this room. Hands are going up all over this room. Hands up. Hold it up. Hold it up. Don't be ashamed. Hold it up. God's speaking to me, preacher. God's speaking to me. Somebody else, hold it up. Yeah. God bless you. You can put it down. I want to be the vessel God wants me to be. I got some things I need to change. I know it. God knows it. Make a decision today. I want to be meet for the Master's use. Here's my hand. Anyone else? One more thing. If you're not saved, you're not a vessel in the Master's house. He can't use you. You're not His. But He'll make you His today if you'll come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as your Savior and be born again, born into the family of God. Now, there are some folks here today say, preacher, I'm not a vessel in God's house because I've never been saved. I've never trusted Jesus as my Savior. But I want to be. And God's speaking to me today that I need to get saved today. And preacher, I need somebody to take the Bible and show me how to be saved. I'm willing to admit it. Here's my hand. Would you hold it up high?